This week on RSBMB Update, ninja fixes including auto-redeeming dungeoneering tokens, summoning points, and the ability to get feathered at a number of feather shops. Plus, we say goodbye to Botany Bay and talk filler bottle quests. This is RSBNB Update, episode 685, recorded Thursday, August 23rd, 2018. Bye-bye, Botany Bay. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Tanis and myself are in, as we are each and every week. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
You know, it's interesting, you know, sitting through summer here and, you know, moving through the RuneScape updates as they come to us. And, you know, you have one week that's Elite Dungeon 2, that was last week, and then this week you have a Ninja Week. And, you know, when you look at it, you have to wonder, it's certainly a different tempo if you compare this week compared to last week, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, when you think about it, we've only really had Elite Dungeons 2 since, well, Elite Dungeons 1. So,
yeah.
So this week it was kind of like another, you know, the air out came out of the sails again. You're like, oh, okay.
That's right. So, yeah. Anyways, for those of you guys joining us for the first time, welcome. We've been doing this podcast for a long, long time. If you wanted to count actual numbers, I don't know what that would be. What are we at? 13 years and a couple months, I believe.
Something like that.
Anyways, we're also live streaming this on twitch.tv/RSBNB. If you guys are watching, I posted a link to the show notes there when we began. If you guys need it again, I can provide that to you. If anyone wants that, just let me know and I'll pull that in. But for the rest of you guys listening to audio and YouTube, welcome. And we're going to, you know, just do what we normally do here. So anything in this Ninja Week that jumped out at you as being worthy to write home about?
Is that a trick question? I mean, there was nothing that I was jumping up and down about, but I mean, it's a Ninja Week. You know what I mean? Like, nothing bad, nothing good. You know, I mean, it was just, you know, nice little things, I guess. I don't know.
They're just there.
Yeah. They're just there.
But what we do have this week is the Rune Capers update. And the idea behind this is that, you know, we used to talk a lot about these currency events and the fatigue that the community was feeling with them. And, you know, we really haven't seen many of these. I think this is only the second one this year, which when you think about it is definitely something compared to what felt like last year and the year before, you know, every month. So that's a welcome change. So basically what happens with the Rune Capers update is you talk to Joey, and Jagex says he is the self-proclaimed king of fashion capes, and apparently he's the reigning champion of the Gielinor Cape Designs of the Year Award for the past 4 years. And they say, you know, we're not sure if we believe him. So from the beginning of this week, Monday when the update hit, until 2359 UTC on September 2nd, you'll get tokens of might and tokens of talent. Tokens of might come from doing combat-related activities, while tokens of talent are gained from skilling. And when you do that, you'll gather 5,000 of each, and you get a cloak of might and cloak of talent. And then after you gather both of those, you'll combine them, and you will have the option of receiving a cloak of efficiency. And, you know, that's really all there is to this. There, you do unlock mystery boxes along the way, so it's not as though you can trade these in for, you know, lamps or whatnot like you used to be able to. You'll just get a couple of mystery boxes along the way. And, I mean, I don't know if there's any reason to go outright and try and get these capes unless you absolutely want them and you absolutely want to see showing yourself out in the world how you look when you're wearing them. I don't know if anyone feels that way. Do you feel that way?
No, I mean, see, this is one of those that, like, I actually think it was done pretty well, mm-hmm. as for a gathering,
yep.
you know, type thing. My only criticism is that it's cape. And we know in the past, remember when they did the combat cape and the skiller's cape and then the support cape? Remember those like elite capes? Okay. You don't see anyone wearing those, right? Because we work so hard. Like the cape is such a sign of prestige that it's really hard to get someone to take that off and put something on cosmetically. So I don't know if we would have been better with, you know, some other kind of cosmetics for that matter. But this is worth doing because the mystery boxes are actually really good. I got some last night and quite a bit of stars and XP and dunge tokens.
Okay.
So
you're basically getting those along the way, even if you didn't want them. So
yeah.
And you know, if you guys are watching the video version here, you'll see we're just taking a quick look around this area, how the capes look.
They look good.
They don't look bad. I don't know. I think the combined one looks good. It almost looks better in the picture overview than in the real game world, I want to say. So
yeah. But you know the struggle, Shane. If it ain't got pixels, it ain't shit.
Yeah.
You gotta have some pixels. I want to see some smoke behind my cape.
Yeah, that's right. Do people use those like the cape of like the support cape and whatnot? Because you can have like one skilling perk on those, right? You can choose a perk.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can choose one of the perks, I believe, because the max cape has two perks, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're not maxed, you know, you could use those. But even in that, I mean, maybe if you weren't maxed, you could use them. If you're not trying to do like a best in slot thing, because you know, if you were, you're going to wear a kiln cape, something like that.
And it's also important to note that these are pure cosmetic overrides. So these are not actual capes you get; these are just cosmetic overrides. So these will appear in your override menu and you'll just be able to pop them on and wear them over whatever you're actually wearing in game. So that might, you know, improve the ability for some people to want these. But, you know, aside from that, it's just a cosmetic override. And I don't think there's much else to say about this. It's a 14-day long event.
Yeah. But, you know, hey, get your prize boxes because they're worth it, and you got double XP coming up, so you know, might as well.
Yeah, and you know, I'm actually glad that you can't change them in for all mystery boxes like you could before. That was a little overpowered, wasn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so
a little bit.
All right, so talk to Joey just north of the Combat Academy in Lumbridge if you want to get started, or click the little community icon down on your ribbon. It should be there. It should appear. And then you can just see your current progress. And as you're going through the game, all your little tokens will appear in your currency pouch. And then when it's time, just go hand them in and collect your rewards. So that's Rune Capers. I don't think there's much else to say on this.
No, that's literally all there is to cover with Rune Capers. Yeah.
All right. So I want to take a moment here and talk about Botany Bay, because this week they got rid of Botany Bay, believe it or not. And
I buy.
You know, this isn't necessarily referring to the penal colony off the coast of Australia, or for those of you guys who are familiar with the Star Trek series and franchise, Khan's sleeper ship.
I thought Australia was a penal colony.
Yeah, that's how it actually started out. I have to ask Parnassius later about some of that. I don't think his question pertained to that, though. But
no, we'll I don't think that.
So you guys will recall that back in 2012, they added Botany Bay, and the idea behind this was that when a bot would be found, it would be teleported to Botany Bay, and then while the internal analytics were running, basically what would happen is that players would get to watch and see these bots inside Botany Bay and ultimately have them die and get banned, and the players would be able to choose their fate of what happens there. And basically, this was such an interesting period in RS history. I didn't have any footage of it, so I went out onto YouTube and I actually did find some footage of Botany Bay, and you can see that in the show notes linked at update.rsbnb.com. But basically, back then, the players would be able to throw tomatoes at them. They would be able to choose the various forms of death for the bots. But over time, Botany Bay became empty because the systems that Jagex were using to ban bots actually became redundant. And no one really saw anything there because everyone just got their bots banned so quick. And when it came down to it, at the end of the day, the system was just performing so quickly that there was nothing happening at Botany Bay. And that led people to believe that, oh, maybe there aren't any bots being banned. But they say that was not the case. And this was removed this week in accordance to the discussions that have happened in the past with, people wanting the game world cleared up and whatnot. And granted, Botany Bay was a teleported instance, but it was definitely a spot on the world map, and it has since been removed and cleared out. So I think this is definitely a relic of the past, because when you think about it, that whole bot period, I want to say from 2008 to 2012, was really quite tumultuous. We had a number of false positives there of, you know, bots being nuked, and then they came back, and then it wasn't until they activated their current systems, which of course no one talks about, and rightfully so, because if you talk about them, people can kind of learn a bit about what's going on behind the scenes and develop countermeasures to them. And basically what happens now with bots in-game is that there's what's called heuristics-based bot detection. So what this means is that it's kind of like an antivirus for your computer, where if the game servers detect a form of suspicious activity happening in game on a specific account, that account will receive a little bit more focus. And if it continues to do suspicious activity and they're able to, you know, clarify that there is actually automation happening based on, you know, how the client is behaving, they can just automatically ban those accounts straight away without needing any interaction from JMods. And when you look at it, you could actually tell that this is indeed the way most of their bot nuking happens today. Because if you look at this post here, and this is absolutely astounding in this post, if you read this post, it says, we're still tirelessly removing active bot users. In fact, the real reason for its removal is the fact that we have been banning bots much faster than before. This means that they haven't been sent to Botany Bay, as by the time they teleported there, they've already been banned. And in the past 12 months alone, 6.5 million botted accounts have been banned and removed across both games. 6.5 million. 6.5 million.
I bet 5 million of those came from OS.
Okay.
That place is a wild west, man, with bots.
Yeah, and see, I don't even know if they have their own form of bot protection that keeps up with the heuristics-based approach that RS3 has. So that's a question. But 6.5 million is huge when you think
it's
about it.
It's a lot, man. It's a lot. I mean, and I remember those dark times. Like, not only was it bad because of the bots, but you couldn't go anywhere if you weren't talking at all times. Someone would be walking up to you, are you a bot, you know, and you'd get mad, you know, you'd be like, just piss off. Like, I'm cutting ivy, okay? Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a chance to get teleported there? Did you ever get to see this?
Oh, yeah. I went live on the day it was released, and, you know, it was interesting to see. And, you know, for those of you who were critical of Jagex at the time and didn't believe it, people thought back in the day that it was being put on. And anyone who listened to the podcast back then will know that we had numerous, numerous specials with many people, Raji and others included, about how bots can be battled against and whatnot, and what Jagex could do about them and what the player base could do about them, because it was getting to a point where the economy had you know, hit the floor and hit the toilet. You know, Pure Essence, for example, was one of the main botted things, because that was something that was easy to level up for. And as a result of it, people would just bought that, and it, you know, became almost like another form of currency, because it was just, there was just so much of it in game. And, you know, if, even if you go back to before Pure Essence, there was just regular Rune Essence, and Pure Essence was added because of the bot problem. There was just supposed to be one Rune Essence for all of runecrafting. So you can see various things like that throughout the history of RS, you know, the removal of the wilderness and free trade and so on and so forth. But we're definitely at a point now where I think bots are not as big of an issue in RS3 as they are in OS, and I think it would be in the health of both games to, or in the health of, for the health of OS to fix that. So
I think so too.
Yeah.
But you know, bots do the jobs that we don't want to.
Yeah. Some people actually said that back in the day. They said, you know, these bots are here. They're gathering logs and whatnot. They're doing what people don't want to do. But if you think about it, that devalued a large part of the game economy, which you don't want.
It was the beginning of really hurting skilling.
Yeah.
Like it really hurt.
Yeah, you know, fletching before the bots came in back in 2005 used to be a great way to make money. High elk the bows and whatnot. But after that, there just became so many of them that you would basically have to become self-sufficient to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're in a good spot now, and Botany Bay is closing one chapter and moving on to another. So,
yeah, the only thing I regret is I never got to I was never picked to be transported there. So.
Oh, you could transport yourself there on your own. All you had to do was talk to a trial announcer in one of the banks.
Oh, really? I thought you had to, like, if you were in the vicinity bot, then you got to go.
No, you could go to any trial announcer in bank and teleport yourself.
Oh, man, now it's too late. Now it's gone.
Yep.
Darn. Okay.
Yeah. So, end of Botany Bay. Good to move on from that. We're going to move on to the patch notes right now, but before we do that, just a correction from chat here, courtesy of Tycho. Support capes have two perk slots, while the max cape has three.
Oh, okay.
So that's...
Thanks, Tycho.
Yeah, so that's good. All right, so patch notes this week. You know, there are a lot of patch notes this week, but the question is, do some of them hit home the way they should? I don't know. What do you think?
Like you said earlier, they're just kind of there.
Yeah.
You know, they're just there. I hope the two big updates come very soon so that we can see where they're going. Where are we going? What is happening?
Yeah. All right. So starting off, the thieving skill cape perk will now correctly note triangle sandwiches.
Who figured out that was a problem? Who is getting triangle sandwiches? Like,
I have no idea. I have no idea. Moving on to PVM, in particular Solac, the ancient elven ritual shard can now be dropped by Solac at a rate of 1 out of 1,000 per player, which, I mean, I guess it's fine, given the fact there's a different reward there. I don't know if people will go for the elven ritual shard. This does make it seem kind of rare, though. So
yeah.
That should spike the price a wee bit on that, I think.
Sure.
They've changed the way the following items and how they're broadcast in-game. Dormant Anima Armor will now no longer broadcast in-game at all when dropped.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, you know, you'd always see so much of that, right?
Yeah, and what a troll drop. People would get so mad.
Dragon Claws will now broadcast to friends only.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know who gets excited about Dragon Claws today, but I guess it's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
And the Abomination Cape will now broadcast to the world that you're on, and I guess that makes sense. The Abomination Cape is rare. That is pretty rare. That's the tongue cape, right?
I don't think.
Or no. That is the cape for the little event after the V quest.
Yes.
For the little thing when you go
for the the boss that you can re-kill.
Yeah. Did you enjoy that quest?
Oh, yeah. I actually really enjoyed that quest. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. Abomination Cape is currently going for 383 mil GE price.
So, yeah, they're rare, man. They're hard to get, and nobody wants to do that boss.
Yeah. Makes sense. Now some changes for Elite Dungeons, in particular Elite Dungeon 2. It's no longer possible to pull the Blackstone Dragon outside of his arena. Channeled abilities will also no longer cancel one standing under an immobilized target. Which happens in the Blackstone Dragon fight. And yeah, I mean, if you consider pulling the Blackstone Dragon outside of the arena, that would definitely be something, because there are other Hydrix dragons out there, and this dragon is so huge that I don't even know where the space would be to find such a thing for it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Teleporting with chests and through doors in Elite Dungeons no longer requires you to be out of combat. This was actually a hot fix last week when Elite Dungeon 2 had just come out. Added blocking in Astalern's boss room to prevent the player from accessing certain tiles. Prevented a crash that occurred when the Blackstone Dragon was defeated in group mode, but the group wasn't aligned to the Dragonkin laboratory. I wonder how that would happen. Maybe disband the group, I guess.
Oh.
Prevented Varak Lith and the players from damaging each other when the player is not in the arena. Once again, one of those fun little issues that happened in ED1. Varaklith's barriers will now also go up earlier to prevent players escaping back across the bridges after aggroing him. Let's just hope it's not too soon, as happened with Siryu. Damage stored for soaking Varaklith's ricocheted breaths is now canceled when the player is removed from the arena through an event such as death. So, there we go. That's what happened in Elite Dungeon 2. Welcome, Derp, from Clan Quest to the chat. Thank you for joining us.
Hey.
Moving on to the other patch notes for the week. Dungeoneers will no longer have to wait for skeletons to finish dying before progressing when facing the Divine Skinweaver boss in the Abandoned Floors.
Okay.
I don't know. That one was never an issue for me because I don't really do dungeoneering. Was that an issue for you?
I had not. I mean, yeah, I had some trouble with that one until I got used to it. But, right. I mean, it's almost embarrassing to even admit that, but yeah. Yes.
All right, fair enough. Iron Man accounts can now buy clue scrolls with Thaler. How do we feel about that?
I don't... You know, because what? Iron Man. I'm not an Iron Man, but I don't think Iron Man that would like... I mean... Do you think they would like that?
It seems to be counterproductive to what Iron Man is these days.
Yes, that's... Yeah.
So...
I don't know.
This one raised a lot of questions for me, so...
Yeah, I mean, if I were to have an Iron Man account, I wouldn't like all of that added. Like, the whole idea is to not... Like, to do everything, like... by yourself, and even though you're still kind of doing it by yourself with Thaler, it's not how you traditionally get clue scrolls.
Yeah, definitely. So, that's a weird one.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So, continuing on, players can no longer use Death Touch darts on the Mega Duck, and Jagex says, "Why would you do this in the first place, you monster?" And you know, I don't know if many people out there know about the Mega Duck, unless you're a pet hunter. Basically what happens is if you get a group of people together, say 20, 25 people, but more is better, and you feed a duckling, breadcrumbs in, say, the Lumbridge River or near Edgeville, it will turn into a Mega Duck. And you can have this Mega Duck follow you. And if you keep feeding the Mega Duck breadcrumbs, you can effectively guide the Mega Duck all the way from Lumbridge to the shores north of Ooglog. And what happens when you do that is you get the Mega Duckling pets. So this is kind of a little bit of an Easter egg. I'm not sure if many people know about this who don't hunt for pets, but it's definitely a fun little thing to see happen when you have a bunch of people following around and having Mega Duck appear.
So. Yeah, there are FCs for that.
Yeah.
I had a friend that just got it this week. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, when the pets came out, I was with a group. I think it was the World 60 Penguins group. We all got our bread together. We turned the duck into a mega duck and guided it all the way through the world from Lumbridge to the shores northwest of Ooglog. So it's fun. Players can also once again enter the Ooglog pools with a familiar summoned, and you can go about and have a nice spa day while bringing along a pet. You know, I don't think many people go to Ooglog anymore to do this. There's one that gives you a hidden +5 hunter boost. There's one that gives you affinity to Bandos for the God Wars dungeon. People used to do that all the time. I don't remember what the other two are.
One had an unlimited run for like 15 minutes,
run.
Wasn't it?
Okay.
That one right, might that still one, be useful.
If you're doing the beacon network, the all-fired-up beacon network thing.
Yeah, or maybe even if you're running Blood Runes.
Running Blood Runes?
Yeah, because you still got to run like north from Edgeville to the...
Oh, to the Abyss. To yeah. The Abyss, I see. Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a place where we can go, and I think it's a piece of mid-level content. Hopefully people remember this, so... the other one reduces your increases your prayer points, and the other one we could not remember cures poison and applies poison immunity for 14 minutes.
Okay.
Now moving on to the Wilderness Agility Course, if you cross the walkway from the Agility Course as another player enters the Agility Gate, it'll no longer cause you to be placed on a tile, which allows you to run back through the gate onto the walkway incorrectly. I mean, I don't use the Wilderness Agility Course, but it's a thing.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. Yeah. I never did either.
No. And then there were a whole bunch of other little, you know, what I felt were inconsequential patch notes, you know, granite blocks. If you were dragging them, they weren't doing the proper thing. But then you get down to this one here. Quick traversing on the barrier to the Twin Furies encounter now checks for Zamorak kill count rather than Zaros kill count.
Whoa. What?
Yeah. That's,
so that'd be people were getting weird. Into that one free then,
yep.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now this one was in this document here, but it was reversed, and I am happy this was reversed. And it read as players can now only plant Bloodwood seeds in the Wilderness Herb patch. And you unlock this patch, and you unlock the ability to plant other seeds in it after doing the Wilderness Task Set. So What was effectively happening here was there was a piece of the Wilderness Task Set reward that was removed. And, you know, this was the 7th herb patch in the game. And when you think about it, it's pretty good having all these herb patches because I have hit an all-time record of 112 herbs gathered with this.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah. I didn't understand why that was removed. Like, I didn't get the why kind of behind it. It didn't seem broken to me. It didn't seem
right. And I mean, I guess there was enough of a backlash from the players that they put it back. So,
well, they picked a real bad time to do it when everyone's trying to get their herbs and everything. So yeah, people's gonna be pissed.
Yeah, for double XP weekend. Now on to the actual ninja fixes segment of the notes here. Added a climb top floor and climb bottom floor right-click option for the staircases in the Slayer Tower. That's good, I guess. I mean, I don't particularly use the Slayer Tower, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So, batches of Dungeoneering reward tokens looted from combat and thieving are now all auto-redeemed.
That's good.
Yeah, that's basically
that's so nice.
You know, clearing out inventory space when you're thieving in Prif there.
So yeah, great. That is great.
Botany Bay removed, as well as the trial announcers. We already talked about that. Summoning will now visibly display as 990, and the summoning stat will no longer be drained when using summoning pouches. So we now have summoning points in game.
Okay.
Just like prayer points. And you know, this is good because if you were using your pouches on a run to teleport around, say, and you were trying to go to summoning obelisk and actually make something, you would get the message sometimes that you didn't have the appropriate summoning level.
Yeah.
So that's been fixed. Now, this is another good one for Iron Man and I guess people who are self-sufficient on their own. Packs of feathers have been added to the following shops: Fraud's Gift Shop, Ava's Odds and Ends, Grant's Fishy Business, the Island Fishmonger, the Etc. Fish Shop, the Shanty Pass Shop, the Fremenek Fishmonger, the Fishing Shop in Lumbridge, Shiloh Village, the Fishing Guild, and the Fishing Shop in Menifos as well. And oh, wow. You can get thousands of feathers doing this. Thousands of feathers. So
that used to be a pretty good run. I mean, that was always part of a daily run that I would do.
Mm-hmm. So basically, there's no reason to trade feathers anymore, is what I'm getting from this.
That's what it appears to be.
And, you know, back in the day, I remember people in free-to-play would go about and, you know, gather feathers, kill chickens with ranged, and eventually sell those feathers for GP. But granted, this was 2003, so probably that hasn't been viable for years. So,
well, no, but I mean, I've even, you know, done shop runs for to buy the feathers, because you can at least usually double your money on that. So
yeah. Weiss and the Gardener now accept noted moleskins, claws, and noses. So basically, if you're killing a giant mole, you can just stack them up and then go turn into Weissen just before double XP weekend and see what kind of seeds he has on offer for you.
Okay.
A tree has been removed that blocked the view of the bank chest near the Harmony Pillars in the Melier District of Prif.
Good.
Did you use that one?
They've done some cleaning up of the trees, but it's still kind of hard sometimes. So that's a good change.
All right. Mm-hmm. The ladder into the hidden gem mine in Shiloh Village can now be descended while the player is carrying Karamja gloves 3 or 4 in their inventory, rather than them needing to be equipped.
I don't think I've ever had mine equipped. It's weird.
Hmm. All right. I don't fight gemstone dragons because mainly I don't have the Slayer level for it. So,
wait till you do. They're so good.
Yeah, I think I think the first one unlocks at what? 99, 98?
Sounds about right. Yeah,
I just haven't got the task yet. So,
man, them Hydrix dragons, though, man, those are like 10k XP drops. It's like 5k Slayer.
Oh.
Like it's good, dude. It's really good.
Oh, so that's how people are supposed to do it then.
Yep. Just, well, how you do it is you dress in range, but you stay in melee distance, and then they don't do their special.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems like a bit of a glitch.
No, it's just knowing how to fight them.
All right. So it's okay to basically skip out on that mechanic then.
Yeah, why not?
All right, fair enough. Yeah. Hydrix require level 101 Slayer. So I don't have that yet. Currently level 99. Well, and for some reason, getting very close to 100, but I don't know how much Slayer I've done. Anyways, so. All right. So this week's Treasure Hunter update is a little bit interesting. It's called Return of the Pack. So they're doing this for double XP weekend. So from August 23rd until August 28th, if you open up Treasure Hunter, you'll receive a skilling backpack for free. And this will replace any skilling backpacks that you might currently have, because if you recall, one of them came from the Port Sarum rebuild cleanup event when they graphically redid that area with that little mini event. So this will replace that backpack. And if you wear your backpack while trading, you'll have chances at finding random drops of skilling supplies. And they're marketing this as to be used with double XP weekend. And you'll get items like prismatic stars and lamps, notepaper, pulse cores, as well as the addition of being able to get items like proteins and skilling dummies with this. So,
that's cool.
Yeah. Doesn't this sound to you like this is a little bit of a revamp of Treasure Hunter?
Yeah, a little bit.
because all you need to do is you just need to open it up. Granted, you need to get your charges by using your daily keys, because if you read on with this here, you'll see that it says that, we've also guaranteed the number of backpack prizes on Treasure Hunter. At 2, 5, 15, and 30 keys used, you'll win an additional bundle of backpack charges on top of your normal key prize. And that's in addition to anything you would normally win. So, basically, this event runs for 5 days. So, if you are a Gold Premier Club member, you will get your 15 keys over that day, and you will get the first 3 tiers of reward just by doing your daily keys.
That's nice. It's almost, I almost feel like it's a combination of Rune Pass and Treasure Hunter.
Right? Because there's a tier, associated with it. Now you might be wondering, what are you able to get from this? The skilling tiered boost you're going to get from this when you're using this have been moved up to the top tier. And that basically means that there will be a chance of you getting a 5% XP boost for 10 minutes, and that'll come with 50 charges. So 5% XP boost. And, I mean, when you tack all this in with double XP weekend, that's definitely something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you're wondering what other items you can get from this, here we are. You're able to get ancient relics, dungeoneering token boxes, prismatic stars, prismatic lamps, royal battleship kits, summer piñatas. Remember those from a couple months back?
Yeah.
Protein, you'll get chance of getting 50 protein drops of bars, cogs, hides, logs, memories, planks, or traps, depending on what you get. Then in the skilling helpers category, I think this is what most people will choose. You'll have a chance of getting things like the portable crafters, the portable ranges, the portable wells, and so on and so forth. So
yeah,
I think that this is just a good little thing to wear around when you're doing skilling. The unfortunate side effect is though, that it uses the cape slot.
Yep, can't wear a cape.
So,
unless you have it keepsaked.
Unless you have the cape keepsaked, yeah.
Yeah.
But
I don't even like, it's not even, well, sometimes, I mean, there's some fashion scape to this, but I always have my max cape just for my teleport.
Right.
Like, because it's just so convenient. Yeah. But I guess when you're actually skilling, like when you're actually doing the thing, it would be fine. I don't remember ever having one of these.
No, so. I didn't go for it when it came out. I think they've made it better with this one, because each item drop that you get from the cape will give you a 10% XP boost for 10 minutes, which stacks with the double XP weekend. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So basically what you want to do is you don't want to wear this now. You basically want to get as many keys as you can get. You know, just open your daily keys or maybe do some challenges, because, you wouldn't have enough. You need to get random keys. You need to find 10 extra keys throughout the world, even if you did the daily challenges with that. One daily challenge a day. That would only bring you up to 20 keys, one daily challenge a day. So you need to find 10 extra keys.
Five quests,
yeah. But that's not very good for those of us who have already done our quests.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
All right, so that's what they're calling Return of the Pack. And I think that's a good way of approaching Treasure Hunter updates.
It's better. Yeah, it's better.
And it's not hideously overpowered like Smoldering Lamps.
No, you do have to choose. You know, are you going to wear the backpack and get those benefits, or, you know, because that's going to take a slot, because, like, if you're doing prayer or summoning. Those both have, I think, capes that you have to wear to get that yeah. full 5%. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a give and take with this one, at least, you know.
Yeah.
You have to figure out what you want to do.
And one of the best things people can do when it comes to game design is that there's choice. Like, you don't want everyone to, you know, just have a best-in-slot cape and have that sit on everyone's back, you know, throughout everything you do in RS. You don't want that. And at a time like with Double XP Weekend, it is very good to have choice like this. So I think this is actually a really smart thing to do, bringing this item in and just giving it to everyone and not putting it behind, you know, needing to get X amount of keys done or find X amount of trinkets on the treasure hunter to open it up. So two thumbs up from me on this, despite the fact, though, that it is still Treasure Hunter, and I know there are people who don't like it, but it's a step in the right direction, and that's the way these things have to progress, right?
You know, it's almost like they have some internal analytics and was able to figure out the good parts of Rune Pass and the good parts of Treasure Hunter and kind of put them together.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that Rune Pass blog, too. So.
Yeah.
All right. Player-owned farm Q&A. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you watch this, Shane?
Yeah, I did.
And see, I didn't even watch this because I'm like, what more can we possibly learn that you haven't told us in the five other player-owned farm streams?
Right. And there's a very good reason for doing that. Do you know what it is?
No, do tell.
What have we talked about before on this podcast leading up to
expectations?
Precisely. So if we get all of these things out, you know, in live streams and whatnot, and we talk about the rewards and Jagex talks about the rewards and the like, with them, there's going to be a known set of expectations going in, and the player base will know what they want to do with the update when it arrives. And when the update satisfies what they've been looking for, they will be happy with it, presumably. So I think the reason we're hearing about this for the fourth or fifth time now is the fact that it's just a way of managing the expectations.
Okay.
So,
well, I mean, that's fair, but I mean, my expectations are fairly conservative to begin with when it comes to...
Yeah, anytime you get a large update like this. And I mean, it's a Mod Raven update, so it's not going to be bad out at the gate. We know that.
Right. Yeah.
He always over-delivers with everything. The last one was, of course, Pieces of Hate. So.
Yeah.
Just a quick recap of how it'll work. There's going to be options for both passive engagement and active engagement on the farm with this update. Requirements will be 17 farming and 20 construction to be able to begin with it. The highest unlock will be at level 92 farming. And the final animal list includes cows, rabbits, chinchampas, chickens, sheep, spiders, dragons, yaks, and zygomites. And yes, there will be different genders for both the cows and the chickens, so you'll be able to get roosters and bulls as well. There's 27 known achievements with this update. You're also going to have beehives, which if you're watching the video version of the podcast, you can see right now. There's going to be beehives there. And what that'll do is it'll allow you to feed your animals, and they'll provide different effects on the animals, but mainly it'll boost the happiness of them, which is one of the innate stats. People will, of course, be wondering, what is the comp cape requirements for this update? Well, there's only one, and that is to unlock all of the music that's available at this farm. And there's going to be music tracks that'll unlock at different times of the day. There's going to be music tracks that'll unlock in different seasons. Now, if you don't want to wait, they have an item in place called a seasonalizer that you'll be able to buy with some beans. And basically what this will do is it'll change the season in the farm to allow you to unlock different music ticks. How do you feel about that?
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I think that's fine. Because you have to work and earn the beans. And I don't believe in just holding a cape ransom for the sake of holding a cape ransom.
I do.
I'm sure, because you're kind of a sadist like that. But I mean, if you did work, I mean, what's, you know, what I, as long as it's work,
And keep in mind, I'm one of the people who thought woodcutting and mining and the mechanics around them on RuneScape Classic were good, and the speed those skills progressed. So that's where I'm coming from.
Yes, once again, a sadist point of view.
So let's have a look at some of these screenshots here. Basically what you're seeing right now is the beehive at the farms, and this all takes place at the existing farm, which is north of Ardoy, and it'll just be used there to fill the slot, because you know that farm wasn't really doing anything. So as a result of it, they've basically taken this area and repurposed it and given it new life, so to speak. And it's also very close to the existing farming patch. And oh, there we see one of I don't remember the woman's name who tends the farm, but you can see her in her rocker with her vegetables there, and you can see the level of detail that they are able to pull from this. So it is a very detailed update, graphically and also mechanically as well. And then there's what one of the rabbits look like. So there's a picture of a poor rabbit just sitting here, looking out of his pen. But you know, I think what the thing to take away from this is that, you know, this is going to be an expansion to farming that's going to basically make it feel as though it's truly part of the skill. And you'll recall that when we initially talked about elite skills, one of the options for elite skills was ranching. And I think with this update, that's not going to be needed going forward with this. So, I'm happy with what we're seeing so far. And, you know, it's one thing to see it. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But I don't think it's worth going into what could potentially come from these updates, because it basically isn't out yet, and it's not fair to judge something like that.
Yeah.
So I'll just say, everyone out there, that if you are involved in these live streams and you have an opinion one way or another about the farm right now, I'd say let's just wait. It's coming out September 3rd, so let's just see what actually happens with this. So, I'm just going to run through some of the rewards here. We've already talked about many of these before. You'll be able to purchase farm upgrades, like increasing the size of the pen, the durability of the pen, and so forth. Basic animals like cows and sheep you'll be able to purchase. Magic beans is one of the highlights for this, and basically the idea behind this is there'll be five different types of beans: sundry, leafy, bushy, fruity. And woody, and basically you'll plant one of these in any herb patch, and something random will grow, and you'll get the XP for it. And you can see here why they're waiting to release this until after Double XP weekend.
Yeah, that could get kind of interesting, huh?
Yes, it could. Because there was a question. Oh, will it work on spirit trees? Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it will work on spirit tree patches.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I don't
and
use
you know
those
how much
round anyway.
And you know how much spirit trees give you in terms of XP? It's like 23k per tick.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's
so
a lot.
Imagine someone was to go and no life the farm before Double XP weekend, get all these beans, and then you could see
to
the farming level on Double XP weekend. So, yeah. Yeah. You'll also be able to purchase name reroll tokens and trait reroll tokens for your animals, chicken eggs, and they're adding with this update the Master Farmer's outfit, so you'll be able to unlock the blueprints from it and be able to purchase the fragments if you want to train it this way rather than just farming. So they're adding this one exclusively into game with this update. It won't be coming in via Treasure Hunter, which... I mean, this is a first.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and they're once again learning from the player base and whatnot. So,
that's really good.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what all the requirements, or sorry, not the requirements, but the perks on this will be. But it's definitely something to pay attention to, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know what good the eggs are going to do. Do people bake cakes or something? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
I feel about eggs, Shane.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I had a feeling it was not on your.
Yeah, not really.
Top foods.
Yeah. Animals can't die unless they have the unstable trait. So that's something people were worried about when this initially came on the scene with this here. And we talked about this at length, didn't we?
That was about murdering animals.
Right.
It would be different if they died of old age. It's kind of weird that they don't, but whatever.
It's a thing.
Whatever. It's a thing.
It's a thing. Skilling potions will flatly boost levels in skills like runecrafting, divination, invention, and hunter. Can you think of a use for these?
Nope. Not when you got jujus. I don't know what they would.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. People use this. Did you say summoning potion? I know people.
No,
do
we
use
already
that.
Have a summoning potion in game.
That's what I thought. Oh, these are ones that we don't have.
Yeah, runecrafting, divination, invention, and hunter, amongst others.
Are there not juju potions for those?
Well, there aren't, but these will actually just boost the top level number.
That's confusing to me.
Think of it like a potion to open up a door in Dungeoneering. That's basically the way I see it.
Yeah.
So. Then a question was asked about bean farming, and dragons will apparently be able to net about 2,000 beans per, more if you optimize the dragon.
Okay.
So.
Is that all we get, is the beans?
Well, there's going to be produce as well, like mushrooms and whatnot that can be used, like the Mortmeyer fungi and whatnot that can be used in potions and whatnot. So there's going to be extra little things along the way. Dragons will produce dragon hides.
Okay.
So it's not just beans. You're going to get, you know, the natural thing that your monster will give you, or your pet or animal, I guess, will give you.
So, your livestock.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. That's better. Well, because I was just trying to think, once you had the outfit, you know, how, and if you weren't big into farming, then how useful is that shop? So.
Precisely.
It'll be cool. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah. And I mean, the sense I get from this is that they're not changing the way farming works. This is just another way to train farming in addition to it. It's not, you know, it's not safe cracking, so to speak. Or it's not rune span.
Well, it's an example of why we don't really need elite skills.
You can add ranching and make it go side by side, and everyone gets to benefit from it right away.
Yep.
So
exactly.
I am pleased. But you know, we could have went more into the stream, but I don't think it's necessary because we've talked about it before, and the update's not out yet. It'll be better to run through all this once it's finally here. So
yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for our RS segment this week. Are you ready to give thanks?
I am ready to give thanks like it is Thanksgiving.
It's always Thanksgiving at RSBNB Update nowadays, isn't it?
So, it is. It is.
This week, special thanks go out to our Patreon supporters, including Rory W., Cody T., Nora, Fury, Kyle, and Brock H. Thank you guys for making it possible to do what we're doing with the live stream and the video version of the podcast. It's truly amazing to see all the support that everyone on Patreon is giving us. And if you're wondering more about this, just head on over to patreon.com/RSBNB and you can learn more about that. Basically, the way it works, for $1 a month, you get a special mention in the show notes and early access to our show notes. We moved this down a tier. Previously, that used to be at the $3 tier. So basically, everyone now gets early access to our show notes. And of course, you help us fund the costs for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. Now, for $3 a month is where it gets interesting, and get a special VIP rank on Discord, a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the podcast. Because, you know, sometimes on the podcast we play music, we play, our new RuneScape soundtrack, and of course we have our great intro and closeout music that was composed by Dave, and, you know, we compress down to a 64 kilobit mono MP3, and for voice, it's great, but for the audio tracks, it leaves a little bit to be desired. So that's an option available right here at that tier. Now, for $5 a month, you'll get a shout-out on the podcast every week and exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show. And yes, this includes stuff potentially from pre- and post-show as well. So that's definitely something that a lot of people have found entertaining since we started doing that. And just to give you an idea of what we're working for currently, right now, if we reach $60 a month, we're about 80% of the way there. We'll do a live stream of one of our weekly RuneScape play sessions on Monday, showcasing the game update of the week, and Tanis will be spearheading that when we get there.
I will be hosting for you.
So if you guys want to see that, and if you want to help RSBNB update grow and help RSBNB grow, check us out at patreon.com/RSBNB.
Yeah, thank you, and keep pushing us. That's been one of the funnest parts of the whole Patreon experiences. I feel like the audience is getting a chance to kind of push us into new areas.
They're driving the direction of the show.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we're having great discussions this week in our producers group about the monthly bit that we're going to be recording next week on player moderators, and there are different opinions about what player moderators should be doing. And just like we did with our Evolution of Combat special, one of the best episodes of RSBNB Update ever recorded, we're going to do the same thing for player moderators. Provide that general outline of what player moderators do, and then kind of go into what they should do, what they shouldn't be doing, and what the player moderators mean for the community, and what they mean, or what they mean in terms of their actions and so on and so forth. So it's going to be a good one. So all that and more at patreon.com/RSBNB.
Yeah. And I've just been watching kind of behind the scenes of how everyone is feeling. And that's actually been sparking conversations amongst, you know, some people that I know that are player moderators.
Oh, good. Good.
Stuff. So it's been fun. It's been a whole thing going on. We've got a lot of PMODs in my clan, so it's easy to kind of get that feedback.
Good. Good. All right. Well, we're going to move on to our discussion topic, and this week it is from Parnassius. So let's give that a listen.
G'day, guys. Parnassius here with a quick discussion topic for you this week. We had an awesome first 6 months of RuneScape with virtually every update hitting the intended mark. Then in July, we had our first hiccup with the delay of the second elite dungeon, meaning that there was no real update for that month. Given that it was the only update in August, it meant that August itself was slated not to receive a proper update. Personally, knowing that they're working on a few major updates at once, like the player-owned farms and, you know, mining and smithing is still going on, it's a non-issue for myself, but as usual, the perpetually outraged screamed and ranted about it. Do you think, since Jagex is a fairly large company, they should have something prepped for occasions like this? If management commissioned 3 or 4 bottle quests to be completed but not released, they could keep these in reserve for just such a predicament. Then, you know, when there's a slow month or something has to get delayed because it's not quite ready, or there's a major glitch found just before release, they could drop one of these bottle quests in the game instead. This would shut the whingers up and help quell some of the blowback we always see against MTX updates when there's a slow month. This type of quest seems perfect for this type of event because not only do they not need to create a lot of new resources, they generally don't have any major lore implications either. Love to hear your thoughts on this and anything else you think could be done in these type of circumstances. As always, thanks for the great podcast and happy scaping to everyone.
One word. Actually, two. You are it. And Elemental Workshop Port 5.
Those are not bottle quests, Shane.
I feel You Are It was a bottle quest.
Yeah, but Elemental Workshop isn't.
It feels like it.
No, you're not getting Elemental Workshop. No. One puzzle would be a bottle quest for that. Not even.
You know.
But, yeah, you are it. Yeah, that one's kind of a bottle quest.
Yeah. And, you know, Evil Dave's Big Day Out, I guess you could call that one, because it did take place in the Evil Dave basement, largely, so that could also be a bottle quest. And those are two of the best quests that have been released recently. And, you know, going back to the very beginnings of RS2, that was something that I think defined the way the game worked, was, you know, quests that were just quests, not necessarily tied to some huge storyline. So,
yeah.
It would be good to bring those in. I don't know if putting them in these dry months is the answer to that, because if you put them in the dry month, then you wind up in a situation where quests are only coming out to fill spaces. Bottle quests are only coming out to fill spaces. And, you know, we don't know what's causing this right now. We know last year it was due to Menaphos. This year, we don't know. It could be mobile. It could be something else. I have a very good feeling we'll get an idea of this at RuneFest or sometime in September about what's going on here with this. And maybe people will forget everything that's happened since June and just, you know, move on and focus on what's coming down the pipeline with that. I don't know if that'll happen. But, you know, I think this is a discussion that players need to have, and I think Jagex needs to have, is does there need to be an update every week?
Well, we've had that discussion, and that question has been decided.
And the answer is yes, right?
And the answer was yes. You know, we've been down that road. Now, why it's not happening, I don't know. And most of the time, I'm right there with Parnassius when it comes to, like, very vocal minority that just wants to complain. But I think this time they have something to complain about. Because we've been through all these processes.
Let's go to the timeline here. The timeline of RS updates, that is. So I'm just going to read back a bit for you. Last week we had the Dragonkin Lab. Before that, Ninja Week with Master Skill Cape perks. Before that, Clan Improvements. Before that, Patch Week, and here we are in the middle of July 27th. Before that, another Patch Week in July. Going back even further to that, Account Security Week, Rune Pass, now we're at the 6th of July. Then at the 29th of June, the Temple of Amanishi. Before that, the in-game calendar. We remember how that went down. I still have that turned off. Before that, the Hall of Memories. And so if you go back to this, the last two big updates were the two Elite Dungeons and the Hall of Memories leading up to that. And, you know, I think if you looked at it in a traditional sense of gameplay, you would just have the patch notes published every week, and that would be the end of it. And I think it's also largely a community issue of expectations with this. Because when you think about it, RuneScape is a game that was designed to be weekly updated, right?
Yep.
And because of that, it's just been an expectation that has continued to grow year over year. And when you get back to the core matter of it, a patch week is a patch week. And
right. You
can put these patch weeks out with no problem, but the community will always expect more. And if you look at, for example, Star Trek Online, they only do patches every week. If there's going to be a new feature added to game, it's grouped into one of their season or half season expansions that happen every 3 months or every 1.5 months. I'm not saying RuneScape should do that. I just think that, you know, the discussion about whether or not there needs to be an update every week is something that that we have had before. And I think, are we here at the podcast happy with the fact that there could be updates not every week?
You know, for me, when the discussions first started, when we first started talking about expansions, I was in favor of it because I thought that it could work. And I wasn't even convinced that it didn't work because it only happened once, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I feel like they changed direction. The community wanted the direction to be changed, and then they've spent half of a year moving in that direction and doing well, succeeding doing it. And then we just hit this desert and there's no rhyme or reason for it. And I think it is okay to expect an update. I don't think we should have, there shouldn't be more than two patch weeks in any month. And that kind of pushes it to me. I think the Bottle Quest is a great idea to be dropping in. And you got to think, Shane, it's a Bottle Quest. It's not like it's going to take the spot of a real, quest. Like, this is just something for people to give to people. And if they didn't want to do that, then they should have stood their ground last year. They didn't. And they pushed us all into this other direction. And we accepted it. And what now? I feel like it's hard for me to go back to that because I got behind you and I've been supportive of the decisions. So now you need to stick to the decisions,
Yeah, and my issue and why I'm just nodding along here with this is that I understand the process that they go through to make these quests and whatnot. I understand the process that this takes time. At minimum, you're looking at, 4 to 6 weeks to get an update, even a small one, into game. And, they have talked about before that they're running short on teams and they're adding a new dev team to the list, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, I think, in one of the streams. So I would absolutely love there to be an update every week. I would. I just don't know if it's feasible today with the level of production that gets put into these updates, because we just saw that in the player-owned farm stream. You look at the visuals in this farm, everything is there. So every update that is coming out is being fully pushed out using new assets. Everything is being designed from the very bottom up, and it has to go through QA and the like. And I'm not saying that this is an excuse for them. I'm just saying that the game is at a point where they can't just, make a change on a Monday and have it go out on a Friday kind of thing.
I see where you're coming from with that, with the one exception of they've showed us all year long until June that they are capable of doing it, and they have been doing a pretty good job of it. So this to me comes down to mobile, and we knew that was going to take tremendous amounts of resources. It's taken more than the whole NXT thing did, so it's like, I can't be sure, but that is my suspicion, that it all is probably going to go back to that, but we'll see if I'm right.
Yeah, and see, the thing I wasn't concerned of or wasn't aware of is that I thought mobile was its own team.
Well, you would think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And not only that, we've got another game that's being worked on.
Yep.
So, it's just, I've never seen a year have this kind of a contrast before. I don't even know what to say right now at the end of August. I'm hoping a lot of things will be answered here within the next month.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why we're seeing this dry spell, is that everything is being saved for RuneFest.
Yeah. But once again, let's hope that lessons have been learned there too, and you don't bite off more than you can chew and hype up the community and then end up with 3 years of unfinished business.
Church of you.
The church of me. I'm still. Where is my church? Where is my church?
You know, the biggest thing I wanted last year from RuneFest was the skilling offhands.
Oh yeah. And they were very reserved last year, and I completely forgot about that. Wow. Yeah.
That would have been cool. I think that is the only thing that didn't arrive. Let's see, RuneFest 2017 announcements. And, you know, I don't know if you can put the mining and smithing beta on that one because it's definitely still being developed. So,
yeah.
Let's see, where are the RuneScape reveals? I don't know where that page is right now, but I know the skilling offhands were on there. And, you know, the thing that was good about skilling offhands is that it hadn't been done before. And it was allowing a combat slot to serve a use in skilling, which when does that happen, right?
Never. Though it would have been really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it was engine issues or whatnot, but nonetheless, it was there. So
wait, I take that back. We do have some with that Siliscase in game from the rewards.
Yeah. Let's see. So September 23rd, 2017, RuneFest reveals unfinished business. And you know, they talked about the placeholders and category that will be clue scroll rework. Got that. Mm-hmm. Relic skilling offhand that got its own segment or its own section of the post, and we didn't get that. Novtumberfest combat skilling pets, got that. Pieces of Hate, got that. Deep Sea Fishing, got that. Safecracking, got that. Slayer, people wanted the gap in 120 Slayer filled. That hasn't happened yet, has it?
No, but there is more. I mean. Yeah. They added
the Grove creatures.
Yeah.
The Hydrix dragons were there before. I don't think there's much else. So, the Lost Grove, though, that came out the week after RuneFest.
The Seeker creatures.
Solak. I don't think. No, the Seekers weren't mentioned in.
No, but that added to the gap.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. you know what update I'm going to mention next?
I do not.
Dimension of the Damned. That was in the RuneFest reveals section.
Yeah.
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
Immensely.
Group Iron Man, once again, dependent on mobile finishing and then the bank rework and just getting those people off those projects for engine work. So I think they did pretty well. I mean, Group Iron Man, not there. Slayer filling out and basically the skilling offhands. Those are the only things that were missed.
And they foobarred Dimension of the Damned. They might as well not even had that.
Yeah. And you know, that's a question. How could Dead Men be so successful, but Dimension of the Damned not?
It wasn't the players. That one was not on us.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Jagex screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, that process they took did have a net benefit at the end of the day, but I think when it comes down to it, we're just not entirely sure what the release strategy is right now and where things are headed in the future. And I think that's there is definitely something on the horizon that is the cause of this gap, but we have no idea what that is. So we could have our socks blown off and we could just, you know, forget that July and the first half of August were kind of dry. But and when you look at that, that's a month and a half. Now I'm not trying to excuse that, but maybe there should have been a couple more headlining updates, right?
Yeah, there should have been.
Like two more would have been good, right? Like one in the middle of July. Yeah. If Elite Dungeon 2 came out on time, that would have had July sorted. August would have been left for questions, but you probably could have got away with it given the fact Double XP weekend's happening. So
Yeah.
All right. And yes, I don't know if I explicitly said it during this question, but yes, they definitely should add lots of bottle quests to the game. We would be very, very happy about that.
Yeah, and drop them in on these weeks.
Yeah.
No harm in it.
Yeah, though I have anticipation that the next quest will be big because it's supposed to come out before the end of the year, and it's going to be quest point 400.
Can we finish off the sixth stage? Would that be? Is that possible? Can we kill an elder god? Or chase him off anyway?
I don't know.
Wake him up, get him the hell out of here?
I don't know if they want to go that path just yet. I think they want to give those epic storylines a bit of a break.
Because we've had so many this year?
Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. All right. Well, thank you, Parnassus, for that question. I don't have anything else on that, do you?
I don't.
All righty. Well, then, if you guys want to send in your own questions, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. You can also call or text 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632. Or you can also send them in on Twitter @rsbnb. You can also send general feedback there @rsbnb on Twitter. All right. You ready for some tech news?
I am ready for some of this tech news, and I am scared of others.
Yeah. So, you know, people have been talking for a long time. Where are the new video cards? Where are the new video cards? Why is nothing coming out? What's happening? Well, Gamescom is happening this week in Cologne, Germany, and NVIDIA announced their RTX 20 series, specifically that the RTX 2080 Ti and the 2080 non-Ti will release on September 20th, with the RTX 2070 releasing in October. Now, you might be wondering, they're normally GTX, aren't they? So what does RTX stand for? Well, that's because they're changing their GeForce hardware, their video card hardware, to focus on a new GPU architecture. They're calling it the Turing architecture. It uses a 12-nanometer fabrication process, which means that the transistor space where you see the space between the transistors on the actual chips themselves are very, very tiny. For comparison, about the size of an atom is about 1 nanometer. Just for comparison's sake. That's the level that these CPUs are working at today. So
wow.
They're calling this the most ambitious GPU architecture since 2006's Tesla GPU architecture, which was the G80 chip. Now, if you have been following around the video card and GPU industry for the last couple of years, you'll see that the prices of GPUs have spiked. And the result of this is because of cryptocurrency mining, in that the GPUs are very efficient at cryptocurrency mining. And these ones will be too. So
yeah.
You're thinking, okay, this is good. This is good. This means that I'll be able to get a GTX 1070 for cheaper now that the next generation is coming in and the prices will go down. Well, the GTX 1070 is still going to be a pretty damn good card, but given the demand that we're seeing in the market still, it's unlikely that the prices will go down to the level that people are hoping for. Now, strap in, because the RTX 2080 Ti will start at $999 US, while the RTX 2080 will start at $699, and the RTX 2070 will launch in October for a more modest $499 US dollars. So that's what NVIDIA has announced with this. And, you know, we got some basic spec comparisons here with the GTX 1080 compared. And, you know, if you get the 1070, you're going to still have less CUDA compute cores, which is what the crypto mining and computer intensive folks like to look at for statistics. But they all run faster than the they all run at a slower clock speed than the GTX 1080, but you will get, of course, the better benefit off that. Initially, NVIDIA did not provide any teraflop operations on these, and that's the way GPUs are benchmarked in terms of their performance, how many teraflops per second. Basically, a flop, FLOP, stands for floating point operations per second. And the higher your flops, the more your GPU can do. So looking at this chart here, the GTX 1080 comes in at 8.9 teraflops, while the RTX 2070 will come at 7.5, and the RTX 2080 will come in at 10.1. So you're not seeing a huge increase in teraflops here with this now, are you? Because if you look at this, you're basically seeing an increase of about 1.2 teraflops per second from the various GPUs. If you went from 1080 to 2080, and that's really not that much. That's about 10%, give or take. So people who are looking at upgrading are going to have to really consider if this is what they want to do. And what was really suspect when NVIDIA announced this is that they didn't include the teraflop benchmarks in their initial reporting on this. And the reason for this, you know, if you look at what's happening with this, is they wanted people to focus on their new anti-aliasing method called DLSS. And if you use DLSS, then yes, of course, the 2080 can do almost double the performance of the 1080. But beyond that, graphically, you're looking at, you know, 1.3 to 1.5 times increase in performance. That's about it, even though the teraflops are only a little bit more impressive than that. Now, you might be wondering, this doesn't seem like a major advancement in the form of GPUs, does it?
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
And the reason for this is because NVIDIA is bringing in a new capability to these GPUs, and that's called ray tracing. Have you ever heard of ray tracing?
I have heard the term this week. Do not know what it means.
All right. So imagine the sun, and this is why they use the term ray tracing, because when you go out in the real world, you get hit by that beam of light from the sun, and it bounces off you, and then it refracts elsewhere and whatnot to illuminate the area around you, right? Well, What the new NVIDIA GPUs can do is that they can basically make it so that every light source in-game with the appropriate hardware and the appropriate software is able to implement ray tracing. So this means that if you have a point light source in a game like Battlefield 5, you're going to see the light coming off of your explosions, the light coming off from the sun. You're going to see it bouncing and hitting objects, and then you're going to see it bouncing and hitting other objects and illuminating the area around it much more naturally than you would before. Previously, we used to have another way of doing this through rasterization, so that basically you could simulate it, let's just say. And you can also simulate the shadows of it using ambient occlusion, which we've talked about before in relation to RuneScape. Now, this is what NVIDIA wants everyone to be talking about with these GPUs, is the ray tracing performance with this. And they feel that, you know, this is the only GPU out there that can do ray tracing. So as a result of it, the ray tracing benchmarks are the only thing that matter for this. And because of that, they didn't really initially publish their first teraflop, benchmarks. So that's what NVIDIA is hoping people will focus on for this. And if you look at the article that we have here from AnonTech in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com, you can see a render of what one room looks like without ray tracing, where the light shadows the objects in the room. But if you go down to the area with ray tracing enabled, it looks a whole lot more natural. And that's what NVIDIA is selling with the RTX 20 series. And that's what they're hoping people will sign on for. But the catch about this is that there are only a few games out there, Battlefield 5 and PUBG being another, who are going to support ray tracing off the bat. So if you play other games like, say, Counter-Strike or RuneScape, you're not really going to get the benefits of the RTX series, and you're probably going to be better off buying a discounted 1000 series NVIDIA GPU, at least for a while.
Well, that's what I was kind of wondering, like, what if the RTX is like $999, isn't that around the price of a Titan 10?
Yes, and that's the next thing about this, is they say the 2080 will be comparable to the Titan X.
Okay.
So that's what they want. But, you know, at that point, you might as well just buy a Titan if you don't
need the
ray
tracing. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Because it's probably going to be cheaper than the 2080 at that point.
Yeah.
So. Mm. And, you know, this is the standard back and forth with what happens with the GPUs. We'll have to see what AMD does about this. But, you know, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, I think what you're going to see is you're just going to see people sticking with the 1070, the 1080.
Yeah,
because
that would be my
with
guess.
Cryptocurrency mining and whatnot, this is just going to be super expensive.
Yep. Someone had to come and run it. Thanks.
All right. So we'll definitely be watching and see if AMD puts out anything on this and what the actual benchmarks look like when they finally arrive. All right. So our next piece of story goes back to something we like talking about on the show, and that's Facebook. That's Facebook.
Do we like it? Do we like to talk about it on the show? Or do we just have to?
I think we have to. I think
we
have to.
There, I find no enjoyment talking about Facebook. None.
So Facebook has developed a system that gives users a trustworthiness score. And they say, this is not a reputation rating, but you can't see what your rating is. And they've been developing this for the past year or so, and it's being used to help handle reports of fake news on Facebook. They don't provide any information about how the score is calculated or the limits of what they're going to be using it for. And as we are concerned here, others are also concerned that people have no way of seeing what they're rating is. And, you know, apparently right now it's only Facebook's mismanagement or misinformation team that uses this information. So,
well, we've heard that before, right?
Yeah. So the idea behind this is that people who report a story as being inaccurate and whatnot will have a higher higher trust rating, will have their report carry more sway.
Okay.
And what we don't know about this, of course, is that how is it calculated? Is it calculated based on what you like? Is it calculated based on what you've reported in the past? Is it calculated who your friends are? Is it calculated based on who you follow? None of that has been brought out in the past. And, you know, they say people often report things that they just disagree with, and what they want to do is they want to combat that. So, and they say ultimately someone who makes a single complaint that is substantiated will get a higher score than someone who makes a lot of complaints when only some of them are determined to be warranted. No one knows what's happening with the system. It's a black box as far as the outside is confirmed. And it is entirely automated. So, I mean, if you...
Because YouTube's had such good luck with that.
I mean, if you've heard of social credit scores and whatnot appearing in China before, this is awfully a lot like that. If you've, you know, read 1984, this is also something out there as well. So...
Every day is 1984. Facebook can just... go away. I don't care about them anymore. We should give them a trustworthiness score, and it would probably be pretty low since they've sold our information, used our information, not let us like be safe. Like, they're really bad. and see, got Shane all worked up.
Yeah, they definitely did. I don't know.
You want to know something's fake news on Facebook? I can tell you how to figure it out real quick. Like, did it come from someone over 50 and grumpy and someone that you would avoid at Thanksgiving dinner? if you answered yes to two or three of those, it's fake.
Probably, that's but simple. You never know.
I know. Like, ugh. Can we start teaching people how to substantiate sources again?
Yes, I think that would be a good thing to do. I think that would be a good thing to do. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to tell people. I mean, if you want to be part of this, then sure, use the platform. But if not, get out now. You know? Like,
yeah.
I just don't like the fact that people are being rated without them being able to see what their rating is.
Yeah. Because who knows? Who knows who's going to be using that? And it's automated. So my guess is it's going to be way in favor of the traditional corporate media type sources.
Yep.
And even if someone is very careful and validated and 100% true with what they report, if it's a little small independent media source, they're probably going to have a bad score. That's because they're small.
Yeah, and I'd imagine it's guess. Also who you associate with, too.
That's true. I mean, that's true.
I don't know if your if who you follow should have a role in your trust.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed here lately a lot of people saying, like, they listen to a certain person for entertainment. They don't actually believe what they say, which is different because I thought everyone that watched that person, like, believed everything. So
if it's the person we're thinking about, I watch that person sometimes for entertainment too.
Okay. So I actually have a little bit more faith in humanity than I did 2 weeks ago, but I'm guessing it all goes back to that stuff. I just don't trust Facebook, let alone they give me a trustworthiness. I don't trust you.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I don't know if this is going to get much coverage, but hey, they're doing it. And it's something that people need to be aware of. So that's why we're talking about it.
Yeah.
So this next thing people are definitely going to be aware of. And if you're a Twitch Prime member, you'll want to open your earballs for this one. Twitch says that starting next month with its $8.99 per month subscription service, you're going to start seeing ads again.
Isn't that fun?
And it's not only Twitch. Netflix is also experimenting with showing ads after you watch a program. So here we are. People are paying $8, $10 a month for these services, and they're just slipping ads back into them because they can. And there's no other place for people to go. And, you know, I think a lot of people probably subscribe to Twitch Prime because they wanted ad-free Twitch streams, right?
Well, yeah, and you got it with your Amazon Prime. So my problem with this is, okay, so look at YouTube, right? On one hand, bringing in the ads was great for creators to be able to get paid. On the other hand, once they did that, look what's happened over the last 2 years. Content is being censored left and right, repressed, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Now that you're going to get ads on Twitch, I guarantee you, there's going to be a crackdown on the kind of stuff that you can do while you're streaming. You're going to have to watch every word that you say. And we're gamers. You know what? Sometimes we get a little animated. Sometimes we say things that could maybe be deemed offensive. I don't know. But I just think this opens a can of worms, and it's going to be the creators who get screwed, because it's always the creators who get screwed.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, you start off with a good service like Twitch. They monetize and they add Twitch Prime, which was ad free to begin with, and then you wind up at the end of the day, you're going back to a service that becomes more diluted, and people don't want to pay for that. It's going to give another service like Mixer, for example, maybe an edge that can compete with this. So,
well, and they're going to have to watch for their talent, because the talent will go somewhere else. A lot of people actually came from YouTube to Twitch, over the last like year, and it's not like we can't go somewhere else.
And you know, the reason RSBNB update is on Twitch is because it makes sense for us to be there, because there's a a RuneScape contingent on Twitch that's bigger than the RuneScape contingent on YouTube.
I really wish they wouldn't rock the boat. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And to squeeze a few more, I don't know. I mean, they're the ones making the money from this, right? This doesn't do anything other than annoy the viewers that we're trying to cultivate. And I mean, it's great for them, but it's bad for people watching Twitch, and it's bad for the people that are creating content for Twitch.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, I guess it was nice while it lasted, so we'll just have to see if anyone moves to Mixer.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so moving on to other things, including our Skill of the Month update. We do have that Construction Skill of the Month. And oh boy, Sorensen has gained 40.5 million Construction XP so far. Second place is Parnassius with 21.7, and in third place we have the RR Man with 1.5. So I think the RR Man will be, or sorry, Sorensen will be done, and we'll get there in just a moment. But I think he'll be done, based on what we're about to talk about.
You know, it's like what I told him the other day. I'm glad you're putting a beating on someone other than me. Yeah, 40 mil construction.
Whew.
That's expensive.
Really is. Really is.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So next week we'll have an announcement on what the September skill of the month will be. That one should be good going into double XP weekend. So
yeah.
Let's do some achievements. So starting off here this week, Tannis, you got 120 Slayer on the 22nd. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Next up is Silver Wiz 9 or Paul with 99 Firemaking on the 22nd as well. We talked about Paul and his story the other week, so we don't need to do that again. Next up, we have Alterdog 177 with 99 Mining on the 21st. Badger with 99 Ranged also on the 21st. And then rounding off the 21st is Chodo 3000 from Clan Quest with 120 Invention on the 21st. Nicely done.
Very nice. Very nice. We also have Sorensen 57 with 120 construction, go figure, on August 20th. And we have Zeehill with 120 Slayer. Nice, nice.
Done.
On August 19th. And you're killing me. You give me the hard one, Shane. What? Yitzi?
Yeah, I think Yitzi? That's how we say that.
Okay, with 99 Slayer on August 18th.
Nice.
Yeah, very, very good. and Jubaka with 99 Constitution on August 18th.
Wow.
And Jammy Jimmy with 99 Slayer on August 18th. A lot of Slayer.
Yeah, lots of Slayer. Interesting to see that come up before double XP weekend.
Yeah.
So. All right. So, I believe it's time for a pick of the week.
I think so. What you got for us, Shane?
Well, you know, I have always been a full believer in the iOS stack of applications and whatnot. But it gets difficult at times when you're dealing with Windows computers, when you're dealing with things that Apple should be doing better but aren't. Like, for example, take the Apple Photos application. Yes, it can hold all your photos and it can sort photos by place, time, and whatnot, but there's no easy way to share photos with people who don't have an iPhone. You can share albums with people who have iOS devices and are in your family. That's great. That works great for that. But there's no way to, you know, basically take that level of sharing and take it one level higher to the point where there's good integration on Windows computers that doesn't exist, where there's decent integration so you can share the album to people who don't have iPhoto or a Mac. And, you know, Google Photos solves this with on iOS because you take your photos like you normally do, and then just right off the bat, it uploads them to the Google Cloud services, and it stores them in an album, and you can share them with other people. And the best part about it is that if your photos are not super huge, if they are below 16 megapixels in size, which most photos are today, you can store them for free. You can store unlimited photos for free. And the best part about this is that there's a neat little assistant feature so that, say, you take a bunch of photos that are similar to one another, it'll look at them and determine what you can delete. It'll look at photos and determine who's in them. It'll look at photos and determine what's in them. It'll look at photos and determine where they are. It'll look at photos and allow you to basically say, oh, these photos look like you guys were having fun here doing this, this, and this. It'll put together a nice little video of the day. And it just does all these neat little things that you might want to do with your photos, but you might not think to do. And the best part about that is that they have a good iOS application. It's entirely free. And that's what's making it the pick of the week this week. I started using it this summer. And, you know, it's what Picasa used to be for a local library on your computer, except you can now expand it out to multiple people in your family, multiple people that you want to share photos with. So that's why Google Photos is the pick of the week and why I'm using it for photo management on iOS and the Mac now.
Very cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. You know, if you have multiple Google accounts, you could just share the gallery and share the album, and then anyone can add in to that album. So
oh, wow.
You can have your photos on your phone, select them all, add to this album, add a bunch of photos from the desktop upload or drag them into that album as well, and then have maybe someone else add to that as well. And then you get basically this combined album of your photos that aren't going to go anywhere. And the best part is it's unlimited storage. So if you have, you know, a collection of digital camera photos going back, you know, years, a decade plus, you can just basically get the desktop photo uploader, upload them, and it'll sort these photos by time and whatnot, and it will give this treatment to all of the photos in that gallery that you upload. All of them.
That is awesome.
And, you know, if you go to a zoo multiple times a year and you want to search for lions or whatnot, you can search for lions and it'll know what a lion is. If you want to search for rivers, you can do that too.
Cool.
So it's actually really good in terms of searching for stuff like that. And iOS can do that a bit, but it's limited severely to Mac and iOS photos. So if you have anyone that uses Windows or any extra photos that you want to add to it, it becomes a lot more difficult to do. So Google Photos has solved that problem for me, and that's why it's pick of the week.
Awesome.
So definitely check it out.
Yeah, for sure.
What have you been up to this week on RS?
It's been a busy week, Shane. Been a busy week. I am still in the month-long clan competition. That started on August 4th, right?
Ooh.
I was 4 days behind, so I didn't start till the 8th. It took them that long to drag me into it, right? From then till now, I put up 64 mil. And I'm being severely beaten by someone that has already put up 120 mil.
That's so double.
I'm literally in fifth place, if that tells you how hard people are going. So I've just been doing Slayer all week long. And today I got to go see and get my picture taken on the Iron Throne from Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow. Where is that?
That was cool. It was at the college here.
Oh, okay. So like a traveling exhibit then?
Yeah, HBO brought it in, and they were doing some kind of festival thing or something. But yeah, it was cool. It was very cool.
Very nice. Are you getting ready for Double XP weekend as well?
Yeah, I have most everything that I need. I have like 20K sailfish I'm going to try to cook.
Ooh.
And I have like probably close to 40K Crimson Charms and another 10K Blues. So we're going to try to get through that.
Holy cow. Holy cow.
Yeah. It's going to be a busy It's going to be busy. I got to put up 100 mil just to stay in the mix, because we got some heavy hitters. So,
wow.
Yeah. What have you been up to this week,
well,
Shane?
I did some clue scrolls. I got one of those tuxedo tops. And, you know, just like with all the other clue scrolls, it's been poisoned by all the clue scroll weekends that we have. They don't sell for the price that's there. So it's either disassemble it for Fortunate or wait for the demand for Fortunate components to go up when the new luck items come out, the alchemical onyx items come out at some point in the future. So I think I'm going to wait and hold on to a bunch of those for that. You know, I enjoy those clue scrolls. I have been, for some reason, getting it seems like this will probably change going forward, so don't take any of this as gospel. But apparently I've been getting clue scrolls. It feels like 1 in 3 hard clue scrolls have been netting a master.
Oh, wow.
So that was fun. I also had a hard clue scroll that gave me 3 Bandos pages for 780K. So, yeah. Clue scrolls are good, so definitely would recommend having a look at those if you don't. They're just a fun thing to do on the side. But aside from that, you know, just herb farming, grape farming, getting ready for double XP weekend. I have determined that I have a lot of herb lore XP that I can earn. It's just a question of getting the assets to do it. Based on the stats that I have so far, it would cost roughly 800 million to purchase everything right off the bat, 800 million GP off the bat, with an end cost of about 151 mil to gain that XP on double XP weekend and use all my bonus XP, which you're probably wondering, how much is that? To use about 12 million bonus XP, it would cost me 151 million GP. But I can't even do that because I don't have the assets to purchase all those outrights. I would need over 800 mil to do that, so I don't have that right now.
You don't have 800 mil?
No, do you?
Around?
Do you?
No. I've never seen that much.
Okay. I thought maybe you did and you were offering a loan or something.
No. No. No.
All right. Okay. All right. Fair enough. That's the plan for double XP weekend. Potions, construction as well, using protein items. So
cool.
That's that, getting ready for that. But I believe that's it. I don't think we have anything else to say this week, do we?
No, stay tuned. I will be doing a charity stream on double XP weekend. So right. I'm not doing a straight 24-hour stream, but I will be streaming 4 24 hours, 3 8-hour shifts over the weekend to raise money for
– Split it apart.
Yeah. I'm too old for that. Come on. I can't – I mean, I don't know. I didn't want to do it and then blow the next 2 days because I need to stay viable in the competition. And,
right.
So, yeah, and it's all going to be for the children of St. Jude. So,
oh, that's very nice. That's very nice.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, we'll have more information on that next week, I guess. The last show before double XP weekend, I think that is. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's definitely it. So with that being said, everyone, we'll see you next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Full show notes are available at update.rsbnb.com. You can find us on Twitter at RSBNB. Friends chat is Bits Bytes, and of course our Patreon page at patreon.com/RSBNB. With that being said, we'll see you next week, everyone.
See ya.